Abby.
And I'm Allie.
And it's About Time for True Crime.
Hey guys.
Hi.
Happy Tuesday.
Happy day. How you doing?
What's been going on in your life lately? Welcome to February.
I know. Welcome to February. I'm so excited that we are in February because it's my birth month.
Yes.
Also, a birthday. Actually, today, the day that we're recording, is Mrs. Apple Dabbleson.
Mrs. Apple Dabbleson.
Happy birthday. Can you guys all say happy birthday to my mom, please?
Happy belated birthday.
We love you.
Oh.
So that's new. That's exciting. And also, maybe by the time we hit March, we'll be out of the winter big sad days.
I'd love that.
Yeah, it'd be really good.
I'm white knuckling life right now, personally. So there's that.
Yeah.
I'm ready for it to be light out past 5:30 p.m.
You're asking for big things, kid.
I would like temperatures in the double digits. I would like the pipes in my home to stop freezing.
Yeah.
I'd like to not have to leave the sink constantly dripping.
Yeah, it'd be nice, right? I was just looking. The things that have been getting me through the big sad months are my books, if you will, and small joys. Yeah. So one small joy I had was I got an air purifier.
Yeah. Okay.
I've needed this and a humidifier for a long time. I finally did it. I'm in a health era. But did you know that you can name them?
You cannot.
You sure can. So do you want to know what my air purifier's name is?
What?
Ariana Grande.
Ariana.
Ariana, what are you doing here?
Oh, no. Did you name
You can just do that.
What about the humidifier?
I haven't found one yet because she's kind of niche. She's unique.
Okay.
So
the name's got to fit the vibe.
Yes. I'm kind of feeling like an Evelyn, but I'm not sold. So check back in.
Okay.
But so far we have Ariana Grande. And she does a great job.
Ariana. I love that. One thing that has gotten me through is trying to find little like limited series to watch because yes. I'm not into like a giant 10 season show where like it's really only the first five are good anyway thing. So I'll have you know, even though nobody gives a shit, that I finished His and Hers.
Ooh, also, I give a shit. What the hell?
I was a big fan of, I will say. Good. I mentioned it last week that I was like, no one give away the end. And I appreciate that you all listened to me on that. Thank you.
Held it in.
Appreciate it because I did finally finish it.
Mm.
And I will say this. So there's like a twist ending, right? And we got to the twist and I was like, I saw that coming. I was like, I predicted that. Otherwise, why would you reference that so much?
Right.
I have pattern recognition.
Yeah.
I've watched thriller TV shows before. I am up to par. And then in the very last episode, in like the very last scene, you get a whole other twist.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, hell no. Really?
Ooh.
So that was really good. I liked that it was like a twist and then another twist. And I will say, thinking back, I want to give you guys a chance to watch it before I, like, spoil the ending here.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe next week. But I was thinking that the person was kind of involved, but I thought it was, like, involuntary.
Mm.
So then I found out it was very intentional.
Ooh.
And I was like, okay.
Okay.
Well, I like that. So if anybody has anything else to recommend, I would be so down. His and Hers was, like, I don't know, number one on Netflix. You couldn't click through it without having to see it. And I was like, all right, well, let's take a crack at that.
Yeah.
I had friends that were like, you have to watch this. And then they were about to talk about the end. I said, don't.
Don't.
I haven't finished it yet.
I'm doing what you said.
Ugh. So I finally got to like debrief with like four people. And I was like, so what are your thoughts?
Ooh,
and I do love a post show debrief.
Yes.
But I also like that they really do not leave room for a season two. It was really a one and done, I think.
Good.
Like it's six episodes. That's it.
Yeah.
I kind of dug that.
I like it because I feel like it's kind of the same as the Sharp Objects cover.
Yes.
Where I think making it a movie would be a disservice.
Because it didn't get to include enough.
Right. But then making it an ongoing thing or like straying too far from the plot would also take away from it.
Mm-hmm.
So giving it just as much as it needs.
Is
perfect.
Perfectly well done. I find like there were certain shows mm-hmm. that were so good, if they had just cut it when they should have,
yeah,
would have been better for the integrity of the show and integrity of the plot.
Yeah.
Like, I think that with Walking Dead, when that first came out, I was like, I was watching it, okay? I was a kid. Like, yeah. This was, like, that show's old now. And it's still going on, I think.
Really?
And there's, like, 4 spinoffs or something. Like, it went on way too long. I remember trying to keep up with it in college, and I was like, I just can't anymore. Like, they lost me. Like, it's none of the same people.
Yeah.
You know, and you're just like, how long can something... I get that, like, money's coming in, and I guess that's what you care about, but, like, I like when it's succinct and makes sense.
Yeah. And I will say, I feel that way about most things. There are some that I kind of like that they just never stop, and then it just becomes, like, background. So, like, I do think about Grey's Anatomy. Everybody who has seen that, because it's now been on for 1 gazillion years,
mm-hmm.
Started with a different cast of Grey's Anatomy as, like, the quote-unquote main characters, and that's kind of cool. But then I also think about, like, The Simpsons. That's been on for so long, and just anytime you can, like, dip into it. But The Simpsons isn't heavy. And it doesn't have, like, a lot of things happening except for, I guess, confusingly accurately predicting the future. Mm-hmm. But other than that, it's like you can just watch one at any time and know exactly what's happening.
But it's also one, like, I've never watched a single episode of The Simpsons. But is it, I know, but is it something like, what are other cartoons that are kind of like this? Like maybe South Park or Family Guy. I know those are more like comedy, whatever. But like where the plot really doesn't change. Like you're not killing anybody off for good. Like you're not.
It's kind of like that. It's a lot less crass though.
No, I know that, but yeah. I just mean like animated where it's like you have the same group of people, of characters that are like in it.
Yeah.
But it's not really super deep plot lines. Like it's all tidied up in an episode or two.
Yeah, pretty much.
You
it
know?
Is a lot like that. It's kind of like Bob's Burgers too. It's just kind of like a comforting show to have on in the background. And you're like, oh, I've heard this. Personally, don't hate me. I'm a little bit more of a Bob's Burgers gal. I think it's a little... less jarring sometimes than random saxophone, though I don't hate The Simpsons. I like it. I just, it's not the comfort one for me, but it is for a lot of people.
I think I've seen none of The Simpsons. I've seen maybe a total of 4 episodes of South Park,
mm-hmm.
and even less of Family Guy.
Yeah, I've definitely seen South Park and Family Guy, but like if I'm gonna watch something kind of like stupid humor, I do kind of want a different plot because I know what I'm in for with either of those two,
mm-hmm.
and I want to be like, this is fucking bizarre, like this is funny, but, like, and bizarre,
but it's buttoned up in 20 minutes where like the episode after that doesn't really yeah. depend on the episode also, before it.
I'm so sorry, I'm just realizing this, but like poor South Park, like they've got nothing to work with right now. Like everything is so much crazier than they could make a plot of South Park to be.
True. It's true.
Anyway, I just wanted to pour one out for the writers because holy poop. But
I think they've got plenty. But
I'm thinking about it. What was it? I think I had one other thing to say. Oh, I went up to Maine this weekend and yeah. I saw my friend Erica, who we love. And it was really fun. And I got to ride in a Jeep again. And it reminded me how much I wanted a Jeep.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fun. And I will say, I'm a smart girly. They are not in the current or near future. However, one day, I want you to picture it with me. I have stable living, maybe property, like maybe land, you know, and a Jeep and my normal car, who I love very much. Her name is Deanna. Deanna and a Jeep. It doesn't have to be a 4-door. It can be a 2-door. I don't care. And a Vespa. Those are my fun cars.
Car?
Well, the Jeep is kind of a car, and the Vespa is not a car, but those are my fun automobiles.
I dig that. I could definitely see you in a Vespa, and I could see you in, like, a little helmet.
Yeah.
But, like, a helmet with, like, the chin strap, not, like, a full
yeah.
meaty motorcycle helmet. It's like a bike helmet.
Yeah, because I just want a putt-putt. I don't want it for fast.
Yeah.
I just want it for putt-putt.
Yeah.
I want a basket, and I can go to the farmer's market
and
then
putt-putt
home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's but a fever dream. But maybe one day.
So I guess this leaves us with this. Could you please let us know what your dream car is?
Yes.
Could you let us know what your favorite mindless TV show is and what your favorite for the plot TV show is?
Absolutely. And I'll give you a recommendation and then I'll hop right into it.
Okay.
While it is still cold and frigid and gray, I did read another book by Lucy Foley.
Mm-hmm.
Lucy Foley, I promise. And it was called The Hunting Party. And it was so good. It was like a nice little, it was a thriller, but it was winter themed. Like it takes place in like a blizzard and the snow around New Year's.
Ooh, and that's on my to be read.
I kind of love those vibes. So I would heavily recommend it. It was very fun.
Yeah. Better to read it now than in July.
Yeah. And yeah. You're just like, ooh, spooky. I'm in the car listening to my audiobook. And there's snow on the trees.
There you go.
Yeah. That was very fun. But okay. All right. Stop pulling my leg. We're going to go. Okay. Jeez. So, yoo-hoo. Pod's on.
Yay.
Yay. So, hi, hello, and welcome. Or welcome back to About Time for True Crime, your favorite true crime podcast.
That's us.
And if you like what you hear or are joining us for the first time and stay long enough to decide that you do, we'd love if you'd be willing to follow us, leave a 5-star review, like whatever you're listening to, or some Instagram posts, or tell a friend. Bonus points and consensual nose boops if you do them all. So, limited time offer.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of. For today, I want to talk about a dynamic and a crime that so many people joke about. They make movies about it. And it's when you hate that one damn coworker.
Oh, no.
Or your boss sucks and you just want to kill him. Have I ever personally experienced this phenomenon? No. And I'm not trying to brag. I'm trying to soothe anyone who I work with who may be listening to this. And I do have a great boss and have had a few for the last couple of years. But I do know what it's like when work pressure and frustrations build up so much that a simple question in an email can kind of be the last straw in your day because you've answered it 99 times or you've told them 99 times or you're told that you have to do something over and over again with no change in what you're looking for. Or you just have to drop everything because something urgent came up and now everything else gets screwed up. And you're like, ah, I'm going to lose it. And that's because work is work. It isn't fun all the time. And honestly, if it was fun all the time, it probably wouldn't be the thing you're getting paid for. And if you are, I'm jealous. But especially because oftentimes you can feel trapped or unheard or exhausted, and it can feel so much worse when you get into that endless loop. But really, the people seem to make it or break it. Are you going to enjoy this week? How about this Friday? Are you going to yap about what you had for dinner or your plans with your work bestie? Or are you maybe going to get margaritas and gossip about what you don't like with the coworkers you love? Or are you going to let everyone become the enemy?
Mm.
That old saying, you don't get to pick your family, but you can pick your friends, is true. And it's much like you don't get to pick your coworkers or your boss, but you can pick your attitude. That's my take on it. I've never heard anybody else say that. But we spend almost as much time with the people we don't get to pick in a power dynamic we don't get to pick, in a place that usually cares more about efficient productivity than how well you get along with the person you're working next to.
100%.
And sometimes these people are freaking wild. Okay? True. Case in point, I had a coworker once in a transitional housing setting. And like many people, like very many people, she had some false teeth that she'd have to take out while eating.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really just setting, by the way, but because it was an all-day facility, I'd work any shift. So I'd work first or second or third shift, and we'd always have to serve meals during some of them because you have to provide food. And now we had a staff peanut butter. There was always lots of peanut butter if people wanted to make their sandwiches for like when they go to work or like whatever. We had a staff one that we all technically were supposed to share, okay? But homegirl loved peanut butter. Homegirl loved peanut butter a lot. And she'd pop out her little teeth at least 3 or 4 times a shift. And she'd get a whopping big spoon and she'd just suck on it and lap on it. And like you could hear it. And it was so uncomforting to be around. Like it made me nauseous. Because you know when like someone's just, it's not even loud chewing. It's like the slobber of it all. Like that's what would get me.
There's a Roman hell of just people like doing yeah. that, like chewing gum and eating ribs.
Yes.
And
slurping soup. Like,
yes. Or like, oh, when it like coffee's really hot and they make that. I'm like,
yeah,
shut up. Yeah, I get that.
So it's that. And it's so much peanut butter and so much spit. And did she always double dip? Yes, she did.
No.
Did none of us ever use that peanut butter? No, we did not. Oh. It was not for us anymore. It was hers. And otherwise, she was a fine person. But I literally hated working with her because I was like, if you're going to sit 4 feet away from me and like suck on that thing again, if you smack your lips on that spoon one more time, I'm going to pull my hair out.
And then put it back into the communal peanut butter?
Yeah.
That's the devil's work. It is. That's not okay.
The devil created that.
That's not okay.
So, luckily, none of that was ever enough to make me feel violent, but I get what it's like to have a fucking wild human that you work with and spend, like, significant time with outside of who you might choose to, or in settings that you're like, hey, I don't know if you do this all the time at home, but I know you do it all the time here, so.
And I'd prefer if you didn't.
And maybe even less, just, like, less. Could we go to, like, once or twice a shift instead of the three or four?
Oh, no.
I'm talking like every other, okay, it's whatever, we move on. If you've ever felt any of these things, it may come as no surprise to you that today we are talking about a boss and his secretary. And before we hop into it, I just wanted to highlight some sources. There is not a lot of coverage on this case, so I was able to get a lot from Snapped and Absolute Crime, which were great coverages of this. Snapped had a lot of interviews from police officers that were involved, from sort of witnesses or bystanders or people who know them both. But Absolute Crime actually had full interviews with the murderer in our case. And that was really helpful to see, to sort of get a sense of what their affect was like. So I think that was great. But I also was able to use some from Oxygen, The Cinemaholic, a legal recording of the court case, and more. For trigger warnings, there's mention of assault, there's a pretty sizable dose of mental health, there's also mentioning of sexual assault and an abortion, and just also a lot of tragic events. So let's hop into it. On June 7th, 1989, Kansas City dispatchers received a 911 call from a woman in terror screaming for help. Her name was Linda Culbertson, a young woman in her 30s screaming, "They're shooting guns, help me," and gave the office address that she was in. There's naturally a frantic or kind of terror in a lot of 911 calls, but this one was particularly chilling. And while 911 always finds a way to get you the help that you need that they can give, they were like, let's get people out there now, because this is eerie. It's uncanny. And when the police get there, they said that upon arrival to the building, they could hear her screaming so loud they heard it before they even got inside.
Oh my, okay.
It struck a kind of, oh shit, this is really happening, that sent their blood cold. The doors were locked, and after kicking the doors in, which was so casually mentioned in so many places, I'm not that strong for that, but that's cool.
Do you know how long it would take me to kick a door down?
Literally.
I would be out of breath, like hands on my knees, like...
I know. I'd be finding like a rock to sort of try to put over me to like run at it.
I'd be like, any chance you can just open this?
I'm just knocking. Texting, I'm here. But
I'm outside. Let me in. It's cold.
Literally. So they rush in and they go up to the third floor where they know Linda's hiding in the Pearson Associates law firm. The Kansas City police officers responding say that they could smell fresh gun smoke.
Oh.
So they knew things were happening, like, right the fuck now.
And there's no other calls about this? Or is this building kind of empty?
I'm assuming it's kind of empty. It's
after normal hours.
Yeah, it's an office building. It's a night. So it should be pretty low traffic. You know what I mean?
Got it.
That being said, I don't know how close it was to other buildings that may or may not have been the same kind of setup or, like, different businesses. But... they smell this, it kind of hits them between the screaming and the smoke, and they're like it's happening right now, like we're walking into something active.
Yeah.
And they continue racing up the stairs and realize as they get to the third floor that they heard this absolutely unnerving repeated thump of the elevator.
Ugh.
As they get on the floor, they see what it is. It's the world's eeriest elevator, continuing to trigger a sensor, open, try to close again, and repeat. But it was smashing into a briefcase, blocking the door each time.
Ooh, that is eerie.
Just outside the elevator are trails of blood leading to the man dead and pierced with 3 bullet holes inside.
Oh my goodness.
Linda, still screaming, was inside, hiding under her desk. And they asked if she was okay, and she said yes. And I guess on the 911 call, she did say she was armed, so they asked if she was still armed, and she said yes. With some persuasion, and I'm sure some de-escalation, she came out of her hiding spot, and she had a shotgun.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's not what I thought she'd have.
Mm-hmm.
That's different.
Yeah.
All right.
And while the police were like, holy shit, that's not what we'd expect you to have.
You get a permit for that thing? Is that a concealed carry?
Literally. She comes out and they can tell just because of how cold her firearm is. They knew it hadn't been used and they knew the shots that had happened were recent from the smell.
Okay.
That the weapon she was holding is definitely not the murder weapon.
Okay, so she's got it for her protection, but she's not the one who shot this guy.
Right.
With this gun.
They essentially got her out safely and, you know, after they realized that it wasn't her gun that shot him, she was instinctively less suspicious to them, you know. And so she identified the man who was in the elevator. It was her boss, Donald Pierce Jr. And the police did try to canvass the area and eventually found a security guard, 21-year-old Evison Jacobs, tied up in a chair and reported that he was beaten up before being tied up.
Beaten up before he was tied up?
Yeah. Like he was, it sounded like he was like, oh, I got hit and then I lost consciousness and I woke up sort of tied up.
That's very scary.
But nobody else came or left from the office all night. So the Kansas City Police Department began their investigation. They learned quite a few things about our victim, Donald Pierce Jr. So this was like 1989, and I think everybody was kind of obsessed with this like all-American boy vibe for a while. And that was definitely Donald.
Okay.
He was handsome. He was a great student in high school. He was an athlete. He served in the Army Reserves and then eventually got himself through Missouri University to get his JD and become an attorney.
Okay.
In 1979, he married Kathy Evans, the love of his life. Kathy's been described as pretty and kind and very smart. She was like the vice president of like, I think a Sprint Mobile or something. Very successful, very kind. Everybody seemed to love her. And more than that, Donald created his own law firm. So Pierce and Associates was his.
So they are quite the power couple.
That they are. Donald took on both contract and divorce cases. He was known to be kind of a workaholic, and he spent long hours at the office, giving each of his cases equal attention. Plus, police found out in talking to coworkers and past clients that he was on friendly terms with almost every single one of his clients. So they kind of pretty quickly ruled out the idea of a scorned client doing this.
Yeah, or at least one would stick out.
Right, because there were so many that weren't mad.
Yeah.
But there was something kind of holding them back from fully crossing this off of the list. And that was because earlier, within the last 3 years, at least, someone had broken in and sort of vandalized his office. They like put red spray paint crosses over like photos in his office and wrote like, fuck you, Don, or something like that.
That's so freaky.
It is so freaky. And nobody was ever caught for it. They called the police, you know, but there wasn't a lot of evidence. There
Imagine how much you look over your shoulder, too, after that happens.
I know.
Because you just don't know who it is. And it's like, is it someone who's being nice to me?
Right. And I don't even think that crossed their minds. But like, if you can't find anyone, you can't find anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's stressful. But so they were pretty sure after everything they heard from clients and from coworkers that there wasn't one particular standout that they would know about.
Right.
And they thought at least that was kind of helpful. But it wasn't fully off the list. Soon, though, Linda actually became a little more interesting to investigators, despite her being pretty not suspicious at all at the beginning.
Shotgun Linda.
Shotgun Linda. This is her. Linda was in her 30s. She was a pretty girl who had really big eyes and like a little bit of a southern accent.
Okay.
Linda's adolescence seemed much like a Hallmark movie. Okay. Bright-eyed country girl dreams of the big city. She goes to school for business. But unlike Hallmark, she doesn't make it big in the big city before meeting her elementary school sweetheart, who now runs a tree farm. Instead, she does meet a man. And at 18, Linda became pregnant, which halted any big city dreams. By 1984, when Donald hired her for help at the law firm, she had been married and divorced twice and was now a single mom of three children.
Okay.
While she worked hard and even kept a cot at work to sleep overnight on long nights, Linda worked her way up. She started as like a secretary and, from what I understand, was making something around what would be like in the $20,000 range today.
Okay.
Which isn't huge, but it's something. It gets your foot in the door. And within just a couple of years, she worked her way up to become the office manager, which made her closer to like somewhere between $85,000 to $100,000 in today's money.
Well, goodness.
Yes.
All right. Hard work can get you there.
She's a hard worker. She's making buku bucks.
There you go.
Okay. Which is good because she has three kids.
Good job. Shotgun Linda.
I will say I hear almost nothing else about her kids. I don't know much about it, but I do know she was sleeping at work. So I hope they were doing okay.
Godspeed.
Godspeed.
Latchkey kid era.
So much. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Linda did, however, pique investigators' interest rather early. One of the times she sat with police, she reported having an affair with Donald.
That's concerning.
And more than that, he had allegedly sexually assaulted her by that point.
Oh.
In fact, he was kind of abusive in a lot of ways, according to her.
Okay.
In an interview that she did on Absolute Crime, Linda reports that she could even tell in her interview that sex would have to be involved in this job. She said that Donald kept looking at her strange and she'd look down at her legs. And from her reports on her first day, he told her to come into his office to go over other details of her job. And Linda reports here that this is when he told her that she would have to perform all wifely duties as well.
What?
She does say literally she went ahead and slept with him that night. And here's what's interesting to me about this interview. So I'm going to tell you what we end up finding out, this whole process that we know. But it's so fascinating to get her take on what's happened more recently to sort of see where she's at. And she is in such a weird way about this sort of dynamic with him, in my opinion. Like, she's saying all of these awful things. Like, I had to work here. I couldn't not have a job. But I knew that if it took sex, like, I was going to have to do it. And then she was like, but also, like, I was basically his wife at work. So, you know, I'd have to do the things he wanted me to for work. I'd have to do everything he said for me. And it was awful and horrible. But because he was sleeping with me, I could get pretty much whatever I wanted. Which just feels like an interesting dichotomy to me for someone who says this is so unwanted.
Yeah, it seems mutually beneficial.
Yeah, and like,
I haven't decided yet because we know so little if she's a reliable narrator.
Right.
Like, or because if he is putting her, like, he knows she's a single mom.
Mm-hmm.
And so he knows he can use that and use that to manipulate her and, like, coerce her into, like, sexual favors. That's disgusting.
Yes.
That shouldn't happen. If she's changing her tune, but at the time was really game,
yeah,
and was like, I can make more money. He's hot.
Right. He was the all-American boy.
This changes, you know, her income seemed to quadruple in a few years. So maybe that played a role in it. If this is true, I don't know. There's a lot of things to consider. I don't know how I feel.
Right. And I think at this point, too, it's just worth saying, anytime somebody goes through something horrific and traumatic, if they're trying to find a silver lining, it is not my job to say the first thing is discounted because there's a silver lining.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying it feels a little bit counterintuitive to me that it was, I am so powerless, but look at this power I have. That felt like an interesting dichotomy.
Mm.
Hopefully she has never been put in that kind of situation again.
She still says this, like, recently.
Yes.
This is how she describes this. Okay. Mm.
Now, Linda did have a friend. Okay. Don't be mad at me. I had a really hard time finding this friend's name, but she was Linda's hairdresser.
Okay.
And when Linda started making bougie money, she started getting bougie hair. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And she went to the same hairdresser every week.
Weekly?
Weekly.
Weekly? Who has the time?
Who has the time? Who has the money?
I know. Well, I know where, how she has the money, but who has the time?
Homegirl, huh? Huh?
My flabbers are gassed.
Who has 6 to 8 hours to spend at the hair salon every week? And whose hair is strong enough to do that if there's chemicals?
And who I needs that weekly? Anyway.
A single mom who works too hard. She loves her kids. She never stops.
Mm, she never stops.
But this meant every single week she'd go and she'd see her friend and she'd yap and she'd talk about what was happening.
It's her therapy appointment.
Yeah. And she'd say, oh my God. Okay, I can't tell anyone this, but you don't know anyone, so it's fine. I'm having an affair with my boss, and he's so hot, and he's so good.
Mm.
And he does all of these nice things for me, but sometimes we fight, and it's, like, not good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the lead-up for a long time, as she's making this money. And then one day, her friend is like, I either need a new job, or I need more money. And Linda was like, oh, easy, I'll get you a spot where I work.
Oh.
So she was able to find and or whip up a job for her friend to come work at Pearson Associates.
So she does have power.
Yes. And her friend works with her for a while. I think they said around 2 years and saw a lot together, including that vandalism to the office where someone broke in, including all of these sort of like little nudges and nods to their affair. Like Don sent her flowers once that were beautiful.
So this affair is real.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Okay.
And, you know, Linda's friend did say she heard them fight and like bicker, and it didn't sound like coworker bickering. Like it didn't sound like you were like, ugh, do I have to, Mr. Boss? It sounded a little closer than that. And also, she did seem to see some weird things on Linda pop up. Like, you know, sometimes she'd have like fingerprint bruises on her arm.
Oh, that's not okay.
Yeah. So things are kind of weird. She even said she thought she overheard a slap at some point, but I'm here to say and come to you with the jury, that could be a slap of the face or a slap of the ass, and we don't know which one, and we don't know if one's better than the other.
We don't know which cheek, Your Honor.
Your Honor.
Yana, please.
They could be both bad, or one could be okay. We just don't know, Your Honor.
Your Honor, to be honest, you weren't there.
To be honest, it was a 5-star and it was cool on a butt at the time. You know? I mean, who am I?
The state rests.
But so all of this happened. And then eventually her friend is like, I got a blast. And when she was questioned by police, she was like, oh, yeah, I'll fucking tell you. I'll tell you, this bitch is crazy.
Oh.
And they were like, what? And she was like, well, we had a big falling out before I left, and that's part of why I left.
Okay, so she doesn't give a Dimsdale dim-a-dam
no
what she's saying about Linda because they've had a falling out.
Correct.
Okay.
And she's like, this girl is nuts. She told me before I left that it was her who did the vandalism.
Linda!
She said she does that to him when she gets mad. It's also why she made something else up so that he'd have to come home from vacation early to check on her.
I bet he was on vacation with his wife.
Yes, he was. And she was like, she's fucking crazy. That, like, that's it.
Linda.
The fucking crazy is my words, but that's the vibe I'm getting, okay?
But this coworker was like, I got a Vincent van. Get out of here.
Yeah. I got a Vincent start the van and get the fuck out of Dodge. So the police continue to do more digging and they return to the office. Which, by the way, is still an active crime scene. I'd like to remind us all.
Yep.
Okay. Once again, just a quick summary of the events. Linda calls. They come. She comes out. They're like, you're fine. She leaves. And then the investigation starts. And I say this because when they return to the office, they find some interesting things.
Okay.
Specifically in and around her office.
Okay. Her office, not his office.
I'm going to say her office or cube. I don't know the full setup, but it was like her area.
Her workspace. Got it.
Yes. So not only did they find that cot that she would sleep at sometimes if the nights were late.
Sure. That's why she had it there.
Absolutely. And the clothes that she would sometimes have set aside if that was going to be the case.
Okay.
They also found some other interesting things, you know, like including a dildo.
Linda, at work?
At work. I'm like, all I can picture right now
who
is
has
like
the time?
The black metal drawer that comes out and yes. like a big green thing like bumbling around in there. Anyway.
you just hear buzzing.
Yes. Well, I will say they said a dildo and other sex paraphernalia.
I love that. There are a few things that make me giggle, but having real court documents have to say things like that, like have to write, like someone had to write it down, you know. Yes. And you know they went, ah, shucks. They were right there. They got like their cheeks like, reddened a little, you know.
This is in the fucking record.
Like sex paraphernalia, really.
And like, it's the late 80s. I know coke was big, but I still think people didn't really talk a lot about sex. So I think sex paraphernalia could really mean anything.
It could mean the coke.
It could mean the coke. It could, I don't know that she did it. I'm just saying, I know it was a little bit wilder, but I don't think it was that wild.
I mean, the possibilities are endless.
They're truly endless. It could be like a vibrator that is buzzing around in the middle cabinets and you're like, fuck, shit, gotta turn that off because everything like reverberates in those things.
You've heard.
I've heard from a friend and my phone. And,
I hope it was like a locked drawer. Could you imagine? Like, where's her stapler? Oh, no.
I don't know. They're like, open. That's the sex toy drawer. I forgot she moved it around.
You know how it's a sex toy drawer. You have one too, right?
In your office, middle drawer, right? And like.
No, just Linda. Okay.
Just Linda. It could be underwear. It could be lingerie. It could be condoms. It could be lube for the giant said dildo that was in her desk.
Absolute wild. Of all the things, I didn't think you'd get there today. I have
to
say.
And you know what I'm going to say that's a little bit even wilder than that?
Mm.
Right in the midst of all of this, I don't know if it's the same drawer, but beside the cot and beside the dildo around there, they also found a handgun wrapped up in a little towel inside another bag.
Handgun, you say?
I do, which is different than a shotgun, interesting enough.
Which is what she was guarding her life with.
Right.
But I'm surprised she left that.
That's
in
what I mean.
The drawer.
She called them. Had her own time. Anyway.
You know, if her hairdresser friend were still there, she'd be like, Linda, cops are coming. I don't want you to be embarrassed. What can I take away? Like we said, if you die and I like find you.
Like, I'd clean out the sex toy drawers.
So yeah, I'd have to canvas your place and be like, okay, what don't we want her dad to find? You know what right. I mean? Like, and that's just a courtesy.
And it is.
And it's just because I love you. Not anything that's going to mess with the investigation. We're not doing anything like that. And if I need to disclose it to the police, I probably would just disclose it to the police because I don't fuck around with that. I'm not playing with crime scenes. But, like, there are things that, like, maybe your gram doesn't need to see. You know what
right.
I mean? Like, there are limits. Like, if she had a friend there, just be like, Linda, your drawer's buzzing. Can I have the key, please? You know, like, does this...
Linda, I need the key and a Clorox wipe.
Yeah. And,
Linda, right now.
Have we any latex gloves, please?
No, just the condoms? Okay.
Excellent. Like, okay.
But can you... I just am like, you call the police. Then they come and investigate your office with your bed and your dildo. And the handgun.
You had time, Linda.
Anyway. So.
Not that I'm in favor of messing with the crime scene. So.
Yeah, we're
unhappy.
Not.
Unhappy.
Advocating for that. But just wild. Wild. And now, again. Personally, I do think it's kind of wild to have a dildo. And whatever other sex paraphernalia, but like for in my head, just like the image of a dildo in this setting, if you were like, this is not a wanted affair.
Yep.
Because to me,
you don't mix work and play, you know,
you don't and you don't shit where you eat.
Yeah.
And you don't dildo where you type. It's just like a pretty known thing. But
that's how the saying goes.
I would think as someone who is in the middle of a a power dynamic where you are not the one with the true power, despite the fact that she clearly has some and has relished in having some.
It seems like she has a lot of that power, actually.
It does.
And she's really not the one with all that to lose.
Right.
If you think about it, right? He's the, I'm assuming, like, the senior partner or whatever. Like, it's his law firm.
Yeah.
It's his reputation that means a lot more. Not that her reputation isn't important, but, like, it's his business. It's his company. It's right. his name. And she's an office manager, and she can go be an office manager somewhere else, but his reputation will follow him.
Right.
Plus, he's married.
Yep.
So, was she threatening to tell his wife? Was she threatening to tell clients? Like, there... That power dynamic can go both ways. Not that he couldn't make her life hell.
Right.
But also...
But also she could tank his pretty fast.
Like, she can hold that over his head as well.
And so I don't know if it was something like that. It is just interesting, thinking from, like, a psych perspective, the idea, and it's not impossible and it's not even unheard of, but just, I'm going to have a for fun dildo here during a not for fun sexual climate that's making me uncomfortable, does not feel like, in my head, a comforting place to explore fun time like that. Again, I don't know. I'm just armchair quarterbacking here. It just seems a little odd. Armchair
quarterbacking. Yeah.
But regardless, the police follow up with her and they're like, hey, girl, this is big. Where'd you get it? Just kidding. They were like... They were like, hey, what's up with the fucking gun wrapped up in your office?
Mm-hmm.
And she adamantly denies ever seeing this gun in her life. She's never seen it. She actually has no idea what they're talking about.
I don't, officer, I have no idea how it has my fingerprints on it.
I have no idea. The only thing that should have my fingerprints is the dildo. No, sorry, I'll drop it. But they were able to take it up for testing and learned that not only were the gun pellets incredibly similar to the gun that killed Donald.
Pellets?
I don't know. That's what they said in the report.
In a handgun?
Allegedly.
Pellets.
Yeah.
Interesting. I have any fucking idea.
I don't know shit about shit, but I do know I don't know a lot about guns. So when people say specific words, I say them to sound like I know more.
But this is from the court documents. Yes. So we're rolling with it. We're not going to make it up. Okay, got it.
So not only were they incredibly similar, but they actually found out that it was the gun that killed Donald. So now we have a murder weapon. And there are a few people's prints on it.
Okay.
But also Linda's.
There being other sets of prints on it does make that more suspicious to me.
It sure does.
But if she's claiming she's never seen it before.
Right.
That's different than, yes, I've seen that. No, I did not use that. And I haven't seen it in weeks or something like that, you know?
Right. So, again, she denies everything. And they were like, okay, fine, we're not going to get anything from her. But instead, in one of these interviews, instead of saying anything that might account for that or give them any information or anything that would explain why her fingers were on it, she reports that she heard Donald say some racist remarks and that, you know, maybe they should look into Evison, the security guard that was there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was a young black man. But he was also tied up when they got there.
Yeah, I don't think that... Leave that man alone. He got beat up, tied up, and free him.
So
I don't think he did anything wrong.
The Kansas City Police Department reported they felt like she was probably just trying to spread the blame. Like trying to point a finger at someone else. But it was something to look into if he was saying like slurs or something racist. They'd follow up. So
yeah, but the man who's tied up isn't the one... who killed the person.
Right. So Linda makes this comment, and it's so dumb for so many reasons. Okay. But here's the biggest one. Because Evison came in and he was so anxious, his facts couldn't add up, his stories didn't match, and the cops knew immediately, surprisingly, that he was guilty.
What?
They kept pressing little by little, and eventually he snapped under the pressure and said, okay, I did it. Well, that him and a friend, Quincy Brown, did it. You know, because Linda had hired them to do it, and he just wasn't sure he could go through with it, so he had to bring in Quincy. And Linda, like, promised jobs and monies and cars and all of that, so they went into it.
Edison, I defended you.
I know. And they had staged Evison being tied up. So he Edison. Participated and then was tied up. also, part of the reason that he did this was Linda told him how she was being assaulted, how she was being like hurt and hit. And he was angry about this. And I have to say, he's righteous in being angry about someone being treated so poorly. Not murder angry, but angry, you know?
Like, we couldn't tell the police maybe or encourage her, like, get her connected with services. I just feel like the research you'd need to do to find somebody to be your accomplice in a murder for hire is so much more than the research to
call 911.
Get connected with services and help her look for another job if you feel that strongly, which I appreciate your concern. But there were so many steps between hearing about that and killing a man.
Yep. And you know what? They were asking about, like, is that the only reason? Like, that's kind of a wild reason to go kill a man. And he was like, well, she told us all about that and all of the racist comments he made. Now, he'd never heard Donald say anything racist.
Okay, so she's telling him.
But she just kept saying how awful it was.
Okay.
And so she was like, please just help me. Like, I need to get out of this. And he was like, I don't know. I can't do it. I can't kill someone. I know that. I could try to bring someone in, but like, you'd have, I'm sure he'd want like money. Like, I could hit you up with someone, but
imagine being the person someone thinks of, like, no, he could kill somebody for the right price. He could do it.
Yeah.
That
he's not going to get half-assed on this, but so that's when he brought in Quincy Brown. And on the night of the shooting, Quincy had shot Donald 2 times. Once in the shoulder and once, I believe, in the knee.
Okay, neither fatal.
Neither fatal. And obviously, if you're shot, you're crying out in pain. Yeah. Donald is sitting there screaming, crying. He's pleading out for Linda to help him. I'm sure he knows she's there. They both work late nights. She's got a fucking cot in her office with a dildo. Like, I know he knows she's there.
Yeah.
But because Quincy was like, I can't do it. I just can't.
Really? Quincy backed out too.
She took the handgun and shot him the final time.
Wow.
In the right eye.
Ooh.
Totally fatal.
Ooh.
Which is where he bled out. He did drag himself into the elevator before the final shot, which is why there were trails of blood. And I am shocked that they left the fucking briefcase there. But they sure did.
Wow. So that's his briefcase?
Well, it's Donald's. I'm like, you're just going to let that thing keep going? Like, I feel like that's more suspicious, but okay.
Mm.
And that's when Linda called 911, where they heard her so panicked, they were like, something's happening right now. And she was still screaming that loud when police got there later.
She's a good actress.
Great actress.
So that explains the other prints on the gun.
Sure does. And Linda, I will say, does remember this differently. Again, referencing that same interview she gave, she remembers this as a horrible night. She felt stuck in a room and helpless. She heard the gunshots and she laments over hearing Donald cry out for her, but she was just so scared she couldn't move. And then she heard the third shot.
So she denies it.
Yeah.
Wow.
If you're wondering, I personally find it a little bit hard to believe Linda's memory on this. As not only because of everything else we talked about, but because the police did find a shooting practice head with shots through the right eye around her desk as well.
Well, that's just good aim.
That's great aim.
But, okay, in all seriousness, though, it's crazy to me that after so many years, she's still saying, like, so she admits to hiring them, but she does not admit to being the one that shot the final blow.
No, it's so strange because it feels like there are moments that she talks about how awful and brutal it was and how she just wanted to get out. I can't remember if she specifically says she hired them. I don't even know if she did that.
She's just trying to sound really sympathetic.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And not only that, there was actually no other evidence of the affair happening. And you may be screaming, Abby, but he brought her flowers. He delivered flowers to her.
Yeah, Abby.
Well, you know, the flowers were actually kind of sent at the advice of Kathy, because Kathy noticed how stressed Linda had been. And Donald listened to his wife like a good man, and he sent his secretary flowers.
Oh.
There is zero evidence that they ever had any kind of affair. There's also no evidence he ever assaulted Linda.
Wow. So there just might not have ever been anything between them.
Yep. As you know, I am a psych girly.
Yes.
I'm not going to go into a ton of things today, and there isn't a lot of reporting on this. Like I said, there's really not much. But I have heard of at least one psychologist saying that she has borderline personality disorder. I don't have a ton of examples of this, only because we don't know that much about her life, and this is usually like a relationship disorder.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say it does seem like there's some interpersonal relationship issues going on. And
I think there's some work boundary issues at a minimum.
At a minimum. But I also always lean on credentialed professionals' opinions and diagnoses. However, something that stuck out to me was they also mentioned her having erotomania, which is like having delusional romantic obsession.
Okay.
That seems to hit the nail right on the head. Yeah. And while this case isn't necessarily the shining example of this, like, you can see it, it's very obvious that it's there, but they have kind of a close relationship. This tends to happen a lot in different circles, like a normal fan and a celebrity. And the fan becomes a stalker because they're convinced the celebrity is telling them secret messages through interviews that they love them.
Right.
Kind of thing. So it's not often seen in this kind of close relationship that I've heard of. It tends to be kind of on a grander scale and tends to sort of accompany psychosis. But I know that it on its own doesn't mean you have psychosis.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what was going on, but it seems... seems pretty accurate for Linda, since she was pretty convinced and continues to talk about how she was basically his wife.
Poor Donald.
I know. He's a great guy. He's not racist. He didn't assault her. They weren't having an affair. He was very much in love with his wife.
So that just to me makes me think a different way about the vandalism to his office, because at first I was like, maybe she's mad that he won't leave his wife for her.
Mm-hmm.
And so she needs to like retaliate in some way. Now I feel like she did that to give him something to be upset about that she could comfort him over, to try to like further that whatever relationship it was that she was seeking with him.
I think both could be true. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he even knew that she wanted him to leave his wife. I will say, Linda says in that interview that she never confessed this to her children, nor does she ever sort of like own up to any of this. She was like, that's just a conversation I didn't want to have with them. And she still claims there was an affair with multiple assaults, and that at one point she even got pregnant. Mm. Linda claims that Donald said he would divorce Kathy and marry her, but the only stipulation to that would be that she'd have to give up her current children. So the three that she had.
What?
And Linda says she wasn't going to do that. And so she got an abortion. And in this altercation, she says there was a terrible assault that followed. But Linda also knew that Kathy couldn't get pregnant. And at one point terrorized Kathy.
What?
By sending her, like, I think a baby doll that was either dismembered or had, like, slashes on it. And she put ketchup on this doll and sent it to Kathy.
That's awful.
I'm not fully sure what all of that means. I don't know if that means it was true and she did have an abortion.
How do you do that to a person? How do you do that to somebody?
I can.
Who thinks of that?
Who thinks of that? I don't understand. If it was like an affair that had any other evidence that it was happening and you were mad, you felt like you had to abort your own baby, I still wouldn't take that out on his wife, who cannot have children.
Who is an innocent bystander in this, if this is even true, if any of this is real.
Mm-hmm. So it's not just him. You know what I mean? Like, she is obsessed with the both of them.
My other thought would be, because this brand of delusion just feels different, that maybe, okay, Kathy might not be able to carry to term, but maybe she herself had, like, suffered from a miscarriage.
Mm.
And so maybe Linda sent her that to, like, traumatize her and to, like, taunt her about the very real, awful trauma that she's gone through.
Right.
That just sounds like another thing that Linda would be capable of.
Yeah. There's so many questions and so few answers, because unfortunately the only other person who would have had the answers to what she's claiming is Donald. And every other piece of evidence we have does not show or indicate or point to Donald having any of these specific impacts on her. I don't negate the fact that, you know, she was seen with bruises, but nothing says that they were from Donald.
Mm-hmm.
I don't negate anything that she went through. I don't know if it was from him, and I'm sure it felt very real to her, or she's very good at convincing herself that her lies were real and she's made it feel real to her. But there's nothing to say that she felt this way because of him and his actions in real life.
And none of the other employees at the firm believe there to be anything. Well, however, though, her hairdresser friend said that she overheard them talking in a way that didn't seem...
Yeah, she said she overheard them bickering. That seemed a little closer than, like, co-workers. But also, he's a workaholic, and she's sleeping at the office.
So they do spend time together.
They spend significant time together. She heard a slap. Could it be a high five?
Mm-hmm.
Your Honor, we don't know if it was a cheek at all.
It could be papers being, like, a folder being slapped on the desk.
Right.
And which happens.
It does.
Attorneys have a lot of paperwork. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah.
And especially then when there was, like, you know, you weren't just logging everything in your database.
A lot of paperwork. There's a lot of file boxes in there.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I mean, sure, maybe he was even just fed up at some points, and maybe he's slamming stuff around in the office. It's still not great, but it's certainly not these claims.
I don't think he has a not stressful job.
No. And you, like, know? Every other coworker was like, no, it didn't seem like anything but a normal working relationship.
And then, of course, the hairdresser friend has heard all of these stories, so she's looking for evidence of that.
Yeah.
Versus other confirmation bias. Other people neutrally observing them.
Yeah.
Would be different.
So it's just bananas, I will say.
So Donald had to die because Linda was obsessed?
Apparently.
That's awful. And I'm really pissed at Edison.
Well, I will say this. I don't appreciate anything Edison did, but I will say,
I appreciate that he spoke up about it.
I like that he spoke up about it. I appreciate that he was immediately like, I don't have a bone in my body that can kill someone. Don't love that he immediately said, here's someone who can.
Mm-hmm.
But he was like, I can't be, like, I can't do that.
And the chivalrous thing to do for her would not be, let's conspire together to ruin both of our lives to end another's life.
Right. And I'll say, I'll give him a little bit of room where I do not give her, because he is 21. His brain's not even fully developed. He actually just had a newborn, or like a very small baby.
Oh, come on.
So I'm also sure he's not sleeping well.
Yeah. I mean, 21, he's young, but he's old enough.
He's old enough.
And he's old enough to be a dad. He's old enough to bring life into this world. He's old enough to behave like an adult. And conspiring to kill a man that you actually have no evidence of any wrongdoing, and even if you did, that's not your place.
Mm-hmm.
That's not...
It's not okay.
Nope. That's... We don't tolerate that. So I'm assuming he went to prison.
Yes. So we do go to court. Linda, despite claiming she was not guilty, everyone goes, ha ha ha, okay, here's first degree murder.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to convict you of that. We're sending you to prison. Here's now WAP.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck seeing daylight, girl.
Yep.
I mean, She does get to do interviews for shows. So,
but life without parole is not glamorous.
No. And they did say they felt like the death penalty would be too easy. They wanted her to have to think about it
for the rest of her life. It sounds like she's not even admitted to the reality of what happened anyway.
Correct.
So she's still got some time.
We'll find out. I mean, she does say in these interviews that, you know, it sounds so crazy, so wild. Oh, my God. But like, compared to what she's living in now, she'd rather the abuse that Donald gave her. Well, yeah, because we don't know how far that actually extends. And I'm almost certain that anything he was doing is significantly easier than any one single person is doing in prison.
Mm-hmm.
But okay. I don't think it helps her case much.
Mm-mm.
But okay. For Evison and Quincy, they were both charged with one count of armed criminal activity. Evison also received life without parole.
Wow.
Quincy.
He didn't pull the trigger.
No, he did not. Quincy received life with the possibility of parole.
How?
Beats me. I was not there. If I had it my way, I think Linda is absolutely the most culpable in all of this. But Quincy did act the most.
Mm-hmm.
I could see Evison still getting that life sentence.
But having the opportunity for parole right. in like 40 years.
Yeah, especially because he did tell the cops the first time he was questioned. He essentially gave them any information he had and how to reach anybody else. And he's never once doubled down. He has been so remorseful of this every day since he admitted to it. Quincy, yeah. I
just wish that remorse could have been like, you know, I would feel this way if this happened, so I'm not going to do this. Like,
right.
Come on, man. You killed him. You had no evidence. You just killed a man. You conspired to kill a man.
Yeah.
You are the reason your conversation led to the death of a man. You are still responsible in that way.
Right. And it's not that I don't think he should have any punishment. It just seems a little bit wild to me that he has the exact same consequence that she does.
As the one who pulled the fatal shot and the guy who shot him twice but didn't kill him has less than the both of them.
Mm-hmm. Just wild.
No. It's a no from me.
I don't love where we ended up there, but I do love that she has an LWOP.
Mm-hmm.
That both Evison and Quincy had to have some kind of consequence for this. I think that was important. I don't
There's
necessarily
no justice
agree
for
with
Donald if they
the
didn't.
Right.
Like that, it had to happen.
So I think that was good, as much as it can be.
Poor Kathy.
I know. Poor fucking Kathy. And poor Donald. This man sounds like a wonderful man from every other account, from every other person. And that's not to say that I don't believe that people who have a good reputation cannot do terrible things. It's just to say, normally, if there's people that are doing terrible things behind closed doors, and those closed doors are always around other people, you would think there'd be something more than that. Maybe.
And not for nothing, but like, if he has other employees reporting to him, like, there's always somebody who's going to be like unhappy or frustrated who just like wants to talk shit about the boss. So like, they're going to be looking for things. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's just like, you have other people around. People are going to notice things. People are different levels of observant. There's no way that somebody didn't notice.
Right.
If he were even just short with her, even right. just like kind of rude, even.
Or showed her the tiniest bit of favoritism.
Yeah. Because you know, they'd pick up on that too.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't know.
It's crazy that no other workers saw anything or heard anything except for her friend. And what she saw was still not confirmed from him at any point.
And it was also filtered through what she was saying was going on behind those closed doors.
Right.
Like, she's not a neutral observer at this point.
No. So this is a wild one. I can't believe that there's so little on this out there.
I know.
I mean, I'm sorry, but
I've heard nothing about this. And you had to say the word sex paraphernalia.
Uh-huh.
And talk about dildos more than, I mean, have we ever had a case like that? Like,
no, I don't think so.
In an office?
In an office.
There I was thinking Donald was screwing around on Kathy.
Uh-huh. And he was a nice man.
And he was a good man who didn't do that.
We don't get a ton of those. Damn it. He was a nice man.
You took a good one.
He is an attorney where historically they're not working on low conflict things. People aren't like the most regulated and in good spirits.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't have a single client who hated him.
Mm-hmm.
That's giant on its own.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Well, I think Linda is where she should be. And I think she's not done yet reflecting, because if she can't acknowledge, I mean, and not to say like mental health problems, I'm not expecting that to like cure itself, but I'm sure that she's been giving resources in prison where she should be able to do that work. Mm-hmm. And she's still like blaming him, or at least like, I'd rather suffer near him than be here.
Yeah.
And it's like, it doesn't sound like there's any suffering around him.
Also, I just want to relay one more time, like, it doesn't sound like there's suffering around him. And if it's more about what you'd prefer, it's still not remorse.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't like it here more than then, so I guess I wish I didn't do it.
Yeah. Girl. Yeah, if it's still about you, you haven't done the work yet.
Yeah. I don't know. I hope Kathy's doing well. I don't know enough about Quincy, but I guess I hope he's doing whatever he can to sort of better himself. And
that's if he even got parole, but yeah.
Well, even if he is still incarcerated, just to take that time and actually use it and work on himself and reflect. And I know that Evison has continued to say that he is really upset about all of this and he feels terrible. And I hope that he also continues to do whatever work he needs to do and find something fulfilling in the life that he has now.
Well, I definitely want to hear from you all down below if you're listening on Spotify, or send us an email if you're listening elsewhere. What a case. I've not heard anything like this.
Yeah. I will say, I'm not sure if we can get pictures of the paraphernalia up in our Instagram, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know. There's not a lot of coverage. But you will be able to at least see the people and the places that we're talking about today, if not all the things. But you could do that over at our Instagram, which you'd find in our link tree below, where you would also find our PayPal, our Venmo, our Redbubble. You could find our email there if you don't have an Instagram. You could find our Instagram to look at the places and things and everyone and all of our cool little highlights. But also, like, if you wanted to send us a DM of your pod pet or what you thought. And in the meantime, I don't know, girl, you got a lot to do. So
yeah, you have kind of a list. You also have, I don't know, 200 plus other episodes to listen to if this is your first time joining us.
Yes. And oh my gosh, if it is, I hope we earned your 5 stars. And I apologize so much that the first time you heard, I said dildo 1 billion times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But if I do check my clock, that was
about time for true crime.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Happy birthday, Mom. Sorry I said dildo.